Welcome to a message from Oasis Church. For more information about Oasis Church and how you can get connected, please visit myoasischurch.com. Here's Pastor Mark Pearl. Enjoy the message.
This morning, I think I want to go to Luke chapter 7. I wasn't planning on going here originally, but I think I'll go here to Luke chapter 7. And just want to talk to you. Actually, really, rather than preach or teach this morning, I just feel like the Lord wants me to exhort a little bit. There's a little bit of difference in that, exhorting, you know. It's going to just kind of stir you up, encourage you, and exhort you to receive what the Lord has for you. I want to go to Luke chapter 7, and what I want to talk about this morning is how God is a God of new beginnings. Everybody say new beginnings. Now, I tell you, one of the things I like about the new year is all the possibilities it holds. I may not always reach everything, but at least there's some excitement to go after it. Right. Amen. You know, I do goals every year. I don't always reach them, but at least I'm shooting for something. And I was looking on my computer. I have a computer that's quite old. In computer age, it's quite old. When I say quite old, it goes back to 2000, maybe 4 or 5, I don't know, somewhere in there, maybe a little older than that. But at least it's not the first original PC one, IBM. But, it's Windows, whichever one it is. Maybe it's Vista. I can't remember, 7 or something. But anyway, but I was looking on there, and the reason I'm saying this is I was looking on there, and I was looking and saw my goals for 2009. And I realized some of them weren't done yet. So I thought, I'm going to have to put them in 2020. Amen. But at least you have that possibilities, amen? There's newness there, amen? And so I thank God for the new year. Now, so I want to talk about how God gives us new beginnings. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank God for new beginnings, everybody. Amen. I don't know about you, but thank God. You know, when Brother Eddie was here, he talked about God being the God of the second chance, the third chance, the fourth chance, amen? Well, he is. As long as you're sincere, he'll give you another chance. Amen. Now let's go here to Luke chapter 7. And I'm reading now the Old King James Bible. I don't know what you're reading out of, but let's read together. We're going to read several passages of Scripture in this in Luke 7. But let's go to Luke chapter 7, verse 36. It says, "And one of the Pharisees desired him," that him is Jesus, "that he would eat with him. And when he went into the Pharisee's house, he sat down to eat. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew Jesus was..." Now, let me stop there just for a minute. Now, when you read through this passage, which we're going to read through the whole thing, and you read the language, you read how this woman is described, it's quite obvious to me that this woman is a prostitute. That is what she does for a living. Okay, so I got real quiet on that, but how many understand what we're talking about? That's what she does for a living. It's quite obvious. You read through this, you read the Scriptures, it's quite obvious. That's what she does for a living. That's why they said this woman is a sinner. Well, everybody's a sinner before they meet Jesus Christ, right? So, but this woman stood out, all right? And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, she brought an alabaster box of ointment, or a perfume, you could say, and stood at his feet behind him, weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet and anointed them with the ointment, or the perfume. Now, this is rather strange. I mean, but here's the thing. What happened was when I met Jesus Christ, I did so in December of 1981. When I met him, I couldn't stop crying for a while. And people would ask me, "Well, what's wrong with you? Are you okay? What's wrong with you?" It wasn't anything wrong with me. There was something right with me. It was just something about, I really encountered his presence. Amen. Are you with me now? Yeah. And it had an effect on my heart. It had an effect on my life. And I just couldn't stop crying. I was crying and crying because, why? Well, I knew I needed this man. Amen. Amen. I knew I needed what he had. I knew I needed some changing. I knew my life was a mess. And I knew I'd found the answer. Amen. Amen. And so this woman, when she came into Jesus' presence, she was overwhelmed by his presence. She was overwhelmed by his power. She was overwhelmed by his holiness. Amen. Amen. Now this woman had met a lot of men, but she hadn't met a man like this. Amen. And it said that, verse 38, she stood at his feet behind him weeping and began to wash his feet with her tears and did wipe them with the hairs of her head and kissed his feet and anointed them with ointment. Now, and that's just, you know, that's unusual, isn't it? Amen. But this woman, she's found her answer for life. Amen. Amen. Now, when the Pharisee, we got any Pharisees in here? I hope not, because we're going to hurt you today. Now, when the Pharisee, which had bidden him, saw it, you know what a Pharisee is? I tell you what a Christian Pharisee is. It's someone that's been saved and has forgot where they came from. That's what a Christian Pharisee is. They forget. You know, Peter said that they've forgotten they were purged from their old sins. Are you with me now?
Amen.
I remember one time I was young in the Lord, just a few years old, and I was in Fort Worth, Texas, and I was walking down the street, and this guy came up to me, and he, you know, he had long, greasy hair, looked kind of rough, and I think he was wanting something to eat, enough money for a hamburger. He had some money, but he wanted some money to eat. And so he approached me and he said, I will sell you my comb for 89 cents. Now, I needed a comb in those days. This was 1984. I still used one. I looked at his hair and all the grease and thought, I don't want your comb. But I said, if you let me pray with you, I'll give you $20. Well, he let me pray with him. I'd let you pray with me for 20 bucks. Line up. I'll go through the line, collect 20 off all of you. So he did, you know, and then later on, he went and took that 20 bucks and bought him a bottle, you know, and so forth. And, you know, but that's what sinners do. You know what I'm saying? That's what sinners do. And I've got indignant about that. And, you know, that my Phariseeism started coming out because I'd set him up for him and all of his friends. But then I saw this other group. They were standing on the corner, and they were passing around a joint. And I said, look at those idiots. As soon as I said that, I heard right back inside my heart, just as plain as could be, let's go back a few years. I thought, that's me on that corner. Come on. Even worse than that. So I thought, now wait a minute. Because I've met Jesus Christ and he has straightened out my life, I am now judging people from the position I'm in and not remembering where I came from and who brought me to where I am. Are you with me now? That's a Pharisee. It wasn't that some of the Pharisees didn't love Jesus or didn't love God. Most of them didn't love Jesus. But it wasn't that they didn't have a love for God. It's they forgot what it's like to be without Jesus. They forgot how you live. This woman's not lived a very good life. When the scripture calls her a sinner, it's just not talking about run-of-the-mill sinner. Those were all over the place. It's talking about a woman that's living, that she's a streetwalker. That's what she does for a living. I just want you to be clear who we're talking about here. This woman doesn't have a very good background. Amen. Now stay with me. Now, verse 39. Now when the Pharisee, which had bitten him, saw it, he spake within himself, saying, he did just what I did, didn't he? This man, if he were a prophet, would have known who. See, this Pharisee knew who she was. Who and what manner of woman that this is that touches him, for she's a sinner. Well, how many know that's the ones that need to touch him? Amen. And so, see, this Pharisee, he knew who she was. He lived in that city. So he knew who this woman was, and he knew what she did. But something, when Jesus came into town, something came with him. Hallelujah. And it you know, they would say, and I don't know, I wasn't there, I don't know how accurate all this is. Some historical stuff is true, some may not be, I don't know. But they would say that when, I think it was Finney, when he would hold meetings, that some people just in all around would fall out under the power of God. Power of God had come on him. I read this one story where, because I have some of his stuff, writings or books by him, and I read this one story where he would make people get out of trees. They'd get in the trees to watch him preach, but he'd say, when the power falls, you'll fall out of that tree. Well, see, when Jesus came into town, he brought something with him. Amen. See, he had a presence about him, and it drew this woman to him. She knew she needed to change. Amen. And Jesus, now notice verse 40, Jesus answering said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say to you. He said, Master, say on. And there's a creditor which had two debtors. One owed 500 pence, the other 50. Now, when he had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave both them. Tell me, which of them will love him most? Now look what Jesus said. He said, God, he gave him a new beginning, didn't he? A fresh start, see. And Simon answered and said, I suppose that he that whom forgave most. He said unto him, you've rightly judged. He said, and he turned to the woman and he said to Simon, he said, see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet. You see, he'd been walking. His feet were dirty. She washed my feet with her tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. You gave me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I've came in, has not ceased to kiss my feet. My head, you with oil, you did not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with oil. See, what is he saying? Well, she gave me the common courtesies that you should have given me. You should have given. This was customary when a guest came over. You gave them water to wash their feet. They'd walk the dusty trails to get to your house. It was customary to give them anoint their head. And to greet him with a holy kiss. It was customary. Simon didn't do any of this. But this woman did all of it. Amen. Verse 47. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loves little. See, Jesus even said, see, he was a prophet. He didn't know this woman, but he knew by the Spirit, her sins are many. And he said unto her, verse 48, your sins are forgiven. They said, they that sat at meat or to eat with him began to say within themselves, who is this that forgives sins also? He said unto the woman, thy faith has saved you. Go in peace. Now I read that because I wanted you to see. I don't care how bad you've messed up. God's got a new beginning. Amen. Now you know, think about it. Jesus was constantly giving out new beginnings. I mean, think about the people he ran into that he gave new beginnings to. The woman that was caught in adultery, what did he tell her? I don't condemn you. Go and sin no more. You can start over. Amen. I mean, you know, the woman with the issue of blood. Her life had been messed up for 12 years. When Jesus came into her life, she got a new beginning. Hallelujah. Amen. What about that man that had the palsy that was born of four, you know, and they put him, took him up on top of the roof. He was paralyzed. He got a new beginning. Hallelujah. Amen. What about Zacchaeus, the tax collector that nobody liked? That really ticked people off. See, we think if Jesus came, we'd love everything he did. They didn't back then. The religious people did not like this woman. They didn't like that. Amen. They didn't like the one when he forgave the adulterous woman. And they surely didn't like it when he went to Zacchaeus' house. Zacchaeus was a tax collector. He was very wealthy. And the way he made his money was he got Caesar's part and his part. He got a little extra. And so they couldn't do anything about it. It was all legal. That's just the way they let them work. You get our part, and any extra you want to get, that's up to you. That's how they made their living. See, some of you are mad already because you don't even want them getting their part, let alone a little extra. How many love paying taxes? How many love loopholes? I'll take every one of them I get. Why? The less. Now, listen a minute. I believe in paying my part. Don't misunderstand me, because, you know, we do get benefit out of it. I know it's misused, but at least we got a street to drive on. Right. Amen. So it is being used somewhat, maybe misused, but nobody likes taxes. They didn't like Zacchaeus. Jesus gave him a new start. Amen. How about the woman at the well? Remember, she came to Jesus and began to talk to him, and he said, go home and bring your husband. She said, I don't have one. He said, well, you spoke right. He said, you've had five. And now the one you got now, you didn't even bother to marry him. You're just living with him. But he didn't condemn her. He gave her a new start. Let's start over. There's a better way to live your life. Amen. Hallelujah. How about there was a woman that followed his ministry. Her name is Mary Magdalene. And the Bible says that Jesus cast seven demons out of her. You think she'd been living a sanctimonious life? She got those seven demons somewhere. She had to go into their habitation. Amen. But Jesus cast them out of her. He gave her another start. Hey, how about a guy? Anybody ever heard of somebody named Peter? Did Peter get a fresh start? And Peter probably did worse than all of them. Worse than the prostitute, worse than all of them. See, we judge sins by how we think they're bad. Well, they are bad. Don't misunderstand me. But we judge them on our level. Let me tell you something. There are spiritual sins that are worse than fleshly sins. Did you know gossip and strife is worse than a lot of fleshly things, sins that we think are terrible? Well, you're looking at me awful funny, but it's the Bible. Amen. 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 See, there's a lot of things. You know, how about he that soweth discord among brethren, Proverbs chapter 6. The Bible calls that an abomination. See, a lot of times people can come and do things and, you know, and they're churchy people and they seem religious people, and sometimes they're sinning worse than the person out there on the street in the eyes of God. Amen? Amen. So we have to, we can't just judge it, you know, by what we think, you know, what we think is bad. We shouldn't do any of it, but I'm making a point. Are you with me now? Now, I read this scripture. I wasn't even going to read this scripture. I was going to start someplace else, but I read this scripture because I wanted you to see, God, it doesn't matter how you messed up your life, God's got a new beginning for you. And I'm not just talking to sinners, I'm talking to saints. Amen. You know, sometimes saints mess their lives up. Oh, yeah, I'm a pastor. I deal with people. I have for years. And sometimes they mess their life up. And, you know, there's times I've even told them, now, don't go do that. Don't go do that. And, I don't know, sometimes sheep don't hear right. Sometimes when you say, don't go do that, I thought you said, do go do that. No, I said, don't go do that. But the Lord's long time ago, he said, now, don't you be saying, just watch this saying I tried to tell you. He said, that don't do any good, but I feel like it sometimes. Oh, yeah. I had one, bless her heart, Alicia Zahn's with me. She's fixing to marry a guy, or actually she was dating this guy, and I just kind of tried to warn her. Said, I don't think much of this guy. I mean, you know, I didn't say it that way. I'm trying to think what I did say, but I'm trying to think what I said to her. But I said something to her about him that I don't know about this guy. You know, she went off 1 week and married him. And it just was hell on earth for her for a few months, and then they end up getting divorced. And then years later, I didn't go to her and say, I tried to tell you. I thought not to drag that thing home. But she did anyway, you know. And then I wasn't happy about it, and they couldn't understand why I wasn't happy that they went off on the weekend and married one another, you know. Like, I'm your pastor, I'm your shepherd, you know. Maybe I do hear from God once in a blue moon. Maybe I can see something that maybe you're not seeing. How many know that? How many know we all got blind spots? You ever drive your car? You got a blind spot, right? Right? I mean, today we got all the modern technology. It'll beep and vibrate and everything else. You know, my seat on my truck vibrates if you're about to run into something. You know, that other truck I had, it had more bells and whistles on it than that. You couldn't only hit something. I mean, somebody walked out in front of you, you didn't see them, it'd put the brakes on itself for you. You'd just be driving along, and if you got too close, it'd slow it down. I mean, it had all that. You'd get over the center line, it'd grab your wheel and jerk it back up. It's kind of weird, but it would. You know, it's like, you're not going to wreck me. I don't care. You kill yourself, but not me. You're not wrecking me. I'm not going into no shop. And it's like, you know, it just had all kinds of things on it. And some of that, when I get on the interstate, I'd turn it off, because if you get too close to a car, you know, on the interstate, it starts slowing you down. Well, I want to get up there like Pernelli Jones and whip out around him, you know, get the draft off of him. You know what I'm saying, you know? And it's like, that thing wouldn't let me do it. Like, you're off it. You're out of here. You could turn it off. And I turn it off. Now, nighttime driving on the interstate, I turn it back on, you know, just protection, you know, in case something, I would fall asleep, it'd wake me up. You know, that. But, you know, why did I get off on that? Where's I headed at? Anybody know? Blind spots, thank you. You have blind spots where, you know, you can't see if somebody's over. Have you ever done that? I mean, I've almost hit people before. You know, I go over there and all of a sudden they're honking and letting me know I'm over here because you couldn't see them over on your side. Well, we all have blind spots in our life. And, you know, this woman just wasn't seeing it for what it was, what this guy was. But she married it. But I appreciated her, you know, some years later, she was in the hospital. I went to pray for her and she said, Pastor, you remember so-and-so? Yeah. She said, you tried to tell me. I thought, I wanted to say that. Oh, I tried to tell you. Amen. But thank God for new beginnings. Even if we've messed it up, there's new beginnings. The scripture tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 that if any man's in Christ, you know the scripture? He's a new creation, creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And all things are of God. Hallelujah. So when you come to Jesus Christ, how many know you get a new beginning? Now, sometimes people don't want to give it to you. Sometimes people will remember your past, but who cares what people think? They're not your judge. You know, if you try to please everybody, you're going to have a really hard time with your life. You may not believe this, but there are people that don't like you. As wonderful as you are, think about it. I've got an evangelist friend. He said, I've taken a poll. Everybody likes me is okay. Everybody doesn't is not. Amen. I thought, well, that's a pretty good poll, really, when you think about it. Yeah. See, you know, just be like, anybody ever see that? And we watch it with TVG, so we don't hear the cussing, but it's a hilarious movie. Baby Steps. What about Bob? What about Bob? That's the name. What about, you know, and he's in there in that car, and he's talking with that young lady and talking about, you know, his relationships with people, you know. He said, well, some people are just, you know, I just figure they're just disconnected, and I just temporarily disconnected and hang up. There are some people who are just temporarily disconnected. Just hang up. Don't worry about it. Amen. Amen. Because some people won't let you forget your past, but God, I said, but God has a new beginning for you. So the scripture tells us that if we're in Christ, we're new creatures. Old things, hallelujah, have passed away. All things will become new. You say, Pastor, I've sinned away my opportunity to be used of God. Well, no, you haven't. That's a lie. Amen. God's got a new beginning. Amen. Think about this. When it's in Exodus chapter 12, when Israel was... getting ready to partake of that first Passover, you know, when they were in Egypt. And God said, kill the lamb, and he was instituting the Passover. He said to them, this month is the beginning of months for you. Yeah. Now, it wasn't on their calendar, but God changed their calendar. See, the Jewish people actually have two calendars today. They have the religious calendar and the civil calendar. But God told them, he said, when you eat the Passover, this is the beginning of the year for you. I don't care. I don't care what. And I think it was like somewhere when they ate the Passover, it would have been like with us, it would have been like end of March or April or 1st of April. So in that area, when they ate the Passover, God said, this is the beginning of the year for you. We're starting over. He's a God of starting over. He's a God of new beginnings. Now you may, see, that this is what the Lord, and he wants me to pray for you after a while. If you're bold enough to admit you need a new beginning in some areas. Sometimes we've messed some things up in our life. Sometimes we've royally screwed some things up. And if you're looking for compassion from some Christians, forget it. You probably won't get it there. You probably get more out from sinners. Because Christians become, they don't watch it, they get a Pharisee spirit about them and say, well, you know, I mean, hey, I mean, they're just, look how they did. I mean, it's no wonder they're all messed up. That's, you know, that's just the way that they deserve it. How many know we all deserve it? Aren't you glad God doesn't give us what we deserve? Amen. If he did, there'd be nothing but a bunch of greasy spots in here on the carpet today. Amen. Thank God he doesn't do that. Amen. All right? All right. He gives us a new beginning. Now, let me tell you something about this woman. When this woman came to Jesus, she was ready for a life change. Right. See, God's not messing with people that aren't ready for a life change. If you're not serious, he's not messing with you. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Without faith, it's impossible to connect to God. But if you come to God and you're serious about a life change, I can guarantee you, I can go downtown Evansville and today, before the day's over, I can get 13 people to pray the sinner's prayer. Guarantee it. Now, I can notch them on my belt and say, I got 13 people saved today. But probably zero of them got saved because you can get people to do things like that. You would be surprised how many people have prayed with me over the years because I had money in my hand. Yeah. See, God, I may not know the difference. But God the Father knows the difference. Now, I've seen people. Now, like I said, when I gave my life to Jesus Christ, I cried. But that doesn't even indicate anything necessarily. I remember seeing this couple get saved one time years ago, 1984. They got saved at our church, and they gave their life to Jesus Christ. And I just marked this. This is in my memory. They came up to the altar and gave their life to Jesus Christ. They knelt down to pray. They didn't shed a tear, didn't show any emotion. Just, you know, thank God I'm saved, and got up and left. And I thought, that didn't stick. Nothing happened. Here it is today. This is 1984. This is 2020. They're still serving Jesus Christ today. But I've seen the blubberers leave the church and go to the bar. I'm not saying that, but I'm just saying this woman really had an experience with God. She came knowing her life needed to change. She came in faith. Amen? See, Jesus would have known the difference. If she wasn't serious, it wouldn't even have made the Bible. But because she was serious, I'm a prostitute. I'm a terrible sinner. I live a dirty, filthy life. But I need a change in my life. She came to Jesus in faith. And his power overwhelmed her. His presence. Amen. And so her life was changed. She got a new beginning. Amen. If you're serious about a new beginning, God's got a new beginning for you. Even if you're a Christian, you messed it up. Go to Isaiah chapter 43. Come on, are you getting anything today? Isaiah 43. See, God's got new beginnings for all of us. If he's got new beginnings for sinners, how much does he have new beginnings for his own children? Are you with me now? I think it's Romans 5 that says something like that. While you're finding that, I'll find Romans 5 and I'll read this to you. It says in Romans 5:10, it says, for if when we were enemies we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, how much more being reconciled shall we be saved by his life?
In other words, if God does things for us when we were sinners, how much more now that we're his children? Come on now. Amen? So, you know, you may think, well, I messed up my finances. I messed up my marriage. I messed up my health. I messed up, you know, my relationship with the Lord. I messed up, you know, my relationship with my children. I messed this up. Well, you know, maybe you did mess it up. This woman had messed up her life, but Jesus Christ gave her a new start. Oh, I like it. I'm so glad he does. Amen. Now, Isaiah chapter 43, I want you to go with me. I want to read a couple of verses here. And then we may look at another scripture before we go today. Isaiah 43, verse 19 says, "Remember you not the former things, neither consider the things of old." I mean, so you got to forget the past. How many know that? We're going to talk about that in just a little bit more here. But you got to forget the past. This word consider means to attend, to look to regard. Don't regard the former things. Did you know, a lot of times, the past is holding us back more than we realized. We think, well, you know, nothing's changed so far. See, what are you doing? You're looking at the past. For instance, the theme that we have, a year of great harvest. You may look at last year and say, well, not much changed for me. Or not much changed the year before either. See, what you're doing is doing exactly what God said don't do. Don't consider the past. Amen? Well, you know, I mean, I feel like I'm called this ministry and it didn't go anywhere. And it's not going anywhere. And it's nothing's happening. Well, here's one of your problems you're going to have to overcome. Quit looking at the past and look what God has said for your future. Amen. So he said, don't consider the past. But notice verse 19, "For behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert." Notice he said, I will do. Notice this, make a way in the wilderness. Rivers in the desert. That would have to be a miracle, wouldn't it? Amen. So the Lord is saying, if I need to, I will do the miraculous to bring it to pass. But you have to forget the old. All right, now, let's go to Philippians chapter 3. Go there, Philippians chapter 3. I want to read to you what Paul said. Now, these are familiar passages, I know that. But let's read them again, Philippians chapter 3. Like cornflakes, have them for the first time. Okay, you're not old enough to remember that. Okay. Eat them for the first time. How many ever had cornflakes? Cornflakes is, now, let me clarify, frosted cornflakes. Okay. Now, in Philippians chapter 3, you know, God can do the miraculous. Let me know that. Let me stop there before we read it. Because this is coming to me. Let me stop there just for a minute. I don't care how impossible it looks. That's one of the problems that you're having, why you can't get into the new, because you're looking at the old failure. I don't care how impossible it looks. God said that I will exalt every valley. I'll bring down every mountain and every hill. I'll make the crooked straight, the rough places smooth. Amen. I'll do miracles if I need to. Amen. Are you with me? You know, I heard Dr. Summerall one time say, you know, he said, I was building a church and we were doing it debt-free. Only problem is we didn't have the money. And he said, we would do the construction a little bit. And I said, well, you have to stop, you know, slow it down. But, you know, and this is years ago. So some of the figures I'm giving to you won't sound like a whole lot today. But in the day that this happened to Dr. Summerall, you could probably, you know, magnify him maybe by 5 to 10-fold. But anyway, he said, you know, I had a guy come to my church, and he was a missionary. And he said, you know, I'm a missionary. I'm an evangelist out on the mission field, and I need a truck to pull my tent. And so Dr. Summerall said, well, I'll buy it for you. I'll buy it for you. How much is it? $40,000. Well, Dr. Summerall said, well, you know, I didn't have $40,000, you know, in he said, in our church account,
But he said, I had $40,000 in the building fund, building the church. Well, that was a lot of money then. But still wouldn't build the church he was building. So he wrote the check. He said, I'm glad I didn't have a deacon board. I got fired that day. He said, but I wrote him a check for $40,000 and sent him on his way. Because, you know, he said, they would have said, you gave all of our building fund money to a foreigner? He said, but I gave him $40,000, you know. He said, so time went by, a few weeks went by. He said, we're not doing anything on the building because we don't have any money. It's just sitting there, you know. And so, but he said, after several weeks, a guy calls me and he says, you know, my wife and I would like to come see you. And he said, can we do that? And he said, yeah, you can come. And so they came to see Dr. Sumrall. He said, I came into some money. Dr. Sumrall, well, that's good. He said, and you got this television station, you know, with all these preachers on here. He said, I want to give all of them some money. All these preachers on your TV station. Dr. Sumrall, well, that's great. We got everybody on there, so great. He said, but the Lord told me to give it all to you. He said, but I told the Lord I didn't want to do that. I want to give it to all these preachers. He said, so I just told my wife, I said, I didn't tell her anything about what the Lord told me. I just said, go pray about something. I didn't even tell her what to pray about. I just told her, go pray about something. So she prayed and she came back and he said, did the Lord say anything to you? She said, yeah, it's about the money. Well, what did the Lord tell you? He said, you're supposed to give it all to Dr. Sumrall. He said, so I'm going to give it all to you. I guess I should obey God. So Dr. Sumrall said he gave an envelope. He said he left my office. I opened it up, and it was $150,000. He said, I did what you would do. The Lord said, don't get too excited about that. He said, why? He said, because if you hadn't given that 40, I couldn't give you this. See, he gave away something he desperately needed. Amen. Desperately. But now he has money to do his church. God's got miracles. Amen. Amen. I said, God's got miracles. Amen. You may think, well, Pastor, I've never had one. Well, all right. Don't limit God because you've never had one. I've never seen your brain. But I'm believing you have one. Philippians chapter 3, you're there? Verse 12, it says, Paul said, not as though I had already attained, either already perfect. Well, I know if Paul's not perfect, we're probably not either. But he said, I follow after, I'm chasing after it, I'm pursuing it. If that I may apprehend that for which also I'm apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, I forget those things which are behind and reach forth to those things which are before. I press. Everybody say, I press. I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. What is he saying? He's saying, I keep pressing towards the new God has for me. Amen. Let us, now notice this, let us, therefore, as many as be, the King James says, perfect, better understood, mature. Let us, as many as mature. I got any mature people in here? All right, this is your mind you're supposed to have. Those that are mature, let us be thus minded. And if anything you be otherwise minded, God will reveal this unto you. In other words, this is the way you're supposed to live your Christian life, folks. You're supposed to keep pressing on for the new that God has for you. Amen. You're supposed to keep pressing on for the more he has for you. Verse 16, nevertheless, whereunto we've already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing. This is the rule that we Christians are to live by. We're to live a pressing way. I didn't say depressing way. I said pressing way. We're to keep pressing on because God's got more. Hallelujah. He's got new anointings, new blessings. He's got new beginnings. He's got all that we need. What happens to many people, listen now, is they let their past define their future. They let their past define their future. You have to break off the limitations of the past. Maybe it didn't work in the past, but we're not in the past. We're in the now. Amen. See, think about this. Jesus made a specific statement about Lot's wife. Remember Lot's wife, that she, they were leaving Sodom and Gomorrah, and she looked back, and she became a pillar of salt. See, she looked back to what she had left, the past. And Jesus told the people of his day, he said, remember Lot's wife. Remember Lot's wife. Isn't that interesting that he said that? What was he telling them? Well, if you read the passage there, it's in Luke 17. You read the passage there, he's talking to them about not looking back. Don't look back. Why? Because when you look back, when you live in the past, it causes your life just to dissolve around you. It just, your life falls apart. Anybody made some mistakes in the past?
Amen.
I have. I've made some major flub-ups. Anybody else done that? Now, I could live there and say, you know, look what happened. But have you know, the Bible says in Micah, "When I don't rejoice against me, O my enemy. When I fall, I shall arise." Jerry Savelle said one time, he was preaching on a stage platform. This was when he was younger. He said, I was preaching and I was just going back and forth, you know. Some of you may go back to some of the old days, man, we just really got into it. Back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. He said, I got a little too close to the edge, fell off the stage and fell into the drum set. He said, I just got out of it, got back up and just took off preaching like nothing happened. Didn't say a word about it. He said, people just looking at me. He said, I act like it didn't even happen, you know. And he said, after the service, this woman said, came up to me and she said, Sheila, you fell off the stage. That's all she got out of the service. You fell off the stage. I like what he said. Yeah, but did you see how I got back up?
Amen.
How many know when you walking out in public and you fall, what's the first thing you want to do?
See if anybody,
see if anybody saw you and get right back up. Right? You don't want to fall and say, hey, I fell. Phyllis loves it when people fall. She just thinks that's funny. She just hoots, laughs. She does. She just, woo. She thinks that's tickled. That just tickles her. Come on, you want to make her funny? Fall on the way out of church. She'll just laugh at you. Well, how many know you got to get back up? I was telling Pastor Jerry about this. His brother Copeland and brother Savelle were in a shopping mall, and this guy had on a white suit, man. He was dressed to the hill, had glasses on, a hat on, you know, I think a feather in the hat, you know. And it was a day of platform shoes. How many ever had platform shoes? Yeah, I had them one time. You know, a platform. It's amazing how the world can make us look so stupid if we'll listen to them. Anyway. Now, if you like him, that's fine. But he was going down the escalator, and his heel got caught somewhere, and he started tumbling down. He said, we watch this guy. He's just like tumbling all the way down. And he says, when he gets to the bottom, he lands on his feet like a cat. And he said his glasses shot off his face. Said he grabbed them in midair, put them back on, and said, well, all right. I mean, this guy's cool. See, that's the way you got to be when you fall. You got to get back up. It's not, see, some people want to major on, I fell, Pastor. I messed up. Well, how about getting up? It doesn't. It doesn't astonish me anymore that people fall. I'm not preaching to go out and try to fall. But I'm just saying it doesn't astonish me any longer. What I can understand is, why don't you get back up and live life again? Go back at it. Get up. Amen. We all have missed it. We have all fallen. God gives us new beginnings. Did you know Christ got rid of our past for us, didn't he? Let me listen to this scripture. You know this scripture, Galatians 3:13 says Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having been made a curse for us. Amen. That the blessing might come on us. What's that tell us? See, a lot of times people are limited by, have you ever heard the term generational curses?
Yeah.
Have you ever heard that? Let me tell you what we're talking about. We talk about that. First of all, you need to know as a Christian, you're redeemed from the generational curses in your family.
Amen.
But it is a real thing. I've seen it. I've seen generational curses of poverty or sickness, or it could be a lot of different things, or divorce or different things. It could be generational curses where it just passed down from one generation to another generation to another generation. Let me tell you, it's a demon that follows your family around and manifests through them. And so, but listen, a lot of times, well, you know, I mean, hey, I came, you know, I came from poor little side of the tracks over here, you know. Look, you can use any excuse you want not to go forward in God. The devil will give you all kinds all day long. Well, yeah, but I don't have much of an education. Well, how much education did Peter have? I'm talking about the Apostle Peter. The Bible said they were unlearned and ignorant men. The Apostle Paul was a very educated man. He sat at the feet of Gamaliel, one of the finest law teachers of the day. He was highly educated. He was a Pharisee of Pharisees. He excelled above them all. Are you with me now? If you wanted to match wits with the Apostle Paul, you were going to lose. You understand that? Peter, all he knew was, I'm fishing. Now, I like to fish. Don't get offended at me. But it doesn't take much intelligence to put a hook on a worm on a hook. I'm glad people fish. I like seafood. Right? But I mean, you don't have to be. Now, you know, some of those guys that go out and do that, they got to know quite a bit. But, you know, your local fisherman, you don't have to know much. See, Peter is just, he's casting a net into the sea and getting fish out and selling them at the market. That's what he does for a living. That's what he does all night long. He does it in the nighttime. He fishes in the nighttime. He has no education. But he turned out to be one of the greatest apostles that ever walked the face of the earth. Did you ever notice there's no book of Paul? There's a book of Peter, and it was so good they made a sequel. What are you saying by that, Pastor? Nothing. I'm just simply saying, what I am saying is this, that Peter was highly educated, was not educated. Paul was highly educated. But Paul said, I count everything I have as dung. It means nothing in this kingdom. Only thing that matters in this kingdom is Jesus Christ and Him crucified.
Amen. Amen.
What God gives me. Yeah. See, God can give an uneducated person the same gift He gives an educated one.
Amen.
And they're both at the same spot.
Amen.
Peter knew he didn't have anything to depend on. Paul knew he better not depend on what he had. Amen?
Amen.
All right, let's close out here. Come on, did you get something today?
Amen.
All right, let me give you this as we close out. Listen, you need to understand, even though maybe your family had curses in it, maybe there's poverty that's been passed down, and people get those ideas, well, I'll never excel because, you know, all my family's poor and all this, and I came from the backside of tracks and so forth. You know, it's like Bishop Keith Butler. How many ever know Bishop Butler? How many ever heard of Bishop Butler? Bishop Butler was telling Dr. Barclay one time, because they're good friends, he said, Doc, where I come from, I came from the backside of the tracks. Well, he done pretty well, didn't he? If you know him, he's got a great church in Michigan. Doc said, where I was at, Bishop, there weren't any tracks. Well, I don't care whether you're on the backside of the tracks or you didn't have any tracks. God's able to cause you to excel in the blessing. Amen? Listen, people talk about generational curses. Let me tell you something. 1 Peter 2, 9 says you are a chosen generation. Your generation's been changed. Hallelujah. Don't look at your... Look, you may have... Maybe, you know, have you ever done... people do this, and I'm closing, I'm sorry, but people do this. They do their ancestry to see where they came from, and they say, oh, I wish I hadn't found that out. It doesn't matter. If you're born again, your ancestry, your roots is in Jesus. My grandfather on my dad's side years ago had him track down our ancestry. You know, my name is Pearl, in case you don't know that. I'm the pastor here. But you spell our name a little funny. It's spelled P-U-R-L. For those of you who've been spelling it P-E-A-R-L for 25 years, it's spelled P-U-R-L. And my grandfather had our ancestry checked out. And this guy traced it, and he traced it back. And he said, you know, he said, something happened. He said, somewhere along the way, somebody changed the spelling of it. He said, it's possible they did that because they were a horse thief. So my lineage ends at a horse thief? Maybe that's why I have this desire to steal horses all the time. I don't know. That's a joke. That's not my lineage. My lineage is in Jesus Christ. Now, some of my ancestors were already here when the Mayflower got here, because I have a little bit of Indian in me. Not a whole lot, but a little bit. But some of them, see, it's so goofed up and mangled up. If you try to trace your lineage, you just better not. You don't want to have to deal with that. Your roots are in Jesus. Amen? Now, here's what we're going to do. We're going to close with this. Listen to this. Genesis chapter 1. How many remember that in the Bible, where the Bible says, and darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved on the face of the deep. Remember that? Darkness was covered the earth. That's what it said. Darkness covered the earth, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the deep. What did God do? He said, let there be light. He spoke light into that darkness, didn't he? See, you have to learn that there's dark areas in your life. You've got to speak light to them. Amen. See, don't just let God give you a new beginning, I'm saying. The psalmist said, I'm going to read this to you and I'm closing. I promise you don't have to go there. Just listen to this. It's in Psalm 40. I want to read this to you, Psalm 40. Psalm 40, verse 1. It says, David said, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me, and he heard my cry. Listen, he brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay. He set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. Listen to this. He hath put a new song, hallelujah, in my mouth. See, you need to have a new song in your mouth. Come on. Speak light into the darkness. Get something new in your mouth instead of talking the way you've been talking about your life. Amen. Say something new about it. Something from God. He put a new song in my mouth, even praise to our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. I have in my Bible where it says, he brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, set my feet upon a rock, established my goings. I got written above that, stuck place. He brought me out of a stuck place.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah. When I was young, we used to go mudding. Now mudding, you don't say mudding. You say mudding. You leave the ing off. We'd go mudding. What's mudding? That's where you'd take your truck out, see if you could get it hung up. We had the strip pits in our area, Pike County, where we could, you know, Pastor Chuck, he did that on Sundays instead of go to church. He'd go fishing on Sundays, chew tobacco and go fishing. Aren't you glad God saved him? I mean, he's like that woman in Luke 7. He needed some help. Thank God for Miss Joanne. She slapped that tobacco out of his mouth, broke his fishing rod and said, you going to church, boy? Look what he's turned out to be.
Amen.
Now, we'd go mudding. Sometimes you'd get stuck. See? You know, that was the day, you know, we didn't have those little dials on the dash. Let's put it in four wheel. You had to get out and lock the hubs. You had to get out in the mud yourself. Lock the hubs and get it out of there. But I remember when I was a kid, I used to love to go back and play in the strip pits. We had them all around us, you know. And in those days, those years back, they didn't reclaim the land. You know how they put it back today and you can grow crops on it. But in those days, they just left it like they found it. We called them spoil banks. They'd spoiled it. They got the spoil out and left the banks. They would be pits and so forth. But in some of those places, you would come into these places that I don't know what the right term is for them, but they were just like mud pits. They were just huge areas that were just real gray looking mud clay. It just stayed that way. Maybe if it was a dry summer for a long time, it would dry out some. But that stuff, if you got in it, it just stuck you in place. It just stuck to you. So as kids, we'd just see if we could get across it. We'd just see. Now we learned real quickly, you can't walk across it. You can't walk across it. So we would lay down on our sides and try to roll across it. Now, if you stopped or you put your knee down, your buddy's going to pull you out. Amen. And so we'd throw a rope to you. It wasn't quicksand. It wasn't like you was going to sink and we were going to lose you. You wouldn't go that far. But you just couldn't get out. You're in a stuck place. Come on, anybody ever have fun like that? Yeah. Come on now. You know I'm telling the truth, right? Pastor Chuck, you know what I'm talking about? Yeah, okay, all right. We're from the same county. We know. Pastor Jerry, you ever seen any of that? No, he's from Leopold, yeah. The big city. We would just... And every once in a while, one of us would decide. I remember one of my friends, he decided, I am going to ride my dirt bike across that. He had this idea. He said, if I go fast enough, I'll get across it. So he wound it up, and he took off. And I'll tell you what, he got midway through it. We had to wrap we had ropes. We put a rope on it. We tied our other motorcycles on it, pulled it out. We had to pull him out. He got stuck. That's what David's talking about. My life was in a stuck place. I couldn't get out. But I cried unto you. You threw me a rope, and you pulled me out. Amen. Has anybody besides me ever felt like your life's in a stuck place? This is a year God's going to pull you out. Hallelujah. I'm going to rephrase that. This is the day God's going to pull you out. Hallelujah. He brought me out of the miry clay. He set my feet upon the rock to stay. Amen. God's got new beginnings for us. Amen. Amen. Thank God. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. You and I ought to abound in hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
That concludes today's message. For more information about Oasis Church, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening.